Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The World Jewish Congress was founded in Geneva, Switzerland in 1936 to counter Nazism. 90 years later, to mark its anniversary, it once again convened global leaders in Geneva to discuss contemporary threats, security, and the future of Jewish communities. Professor Karen Milner, National Chair of the SA Jewish Board of Deputies, and Mary Klock, National President of the Board, as well as Executive Member and Head of Security of the World Jewish Congress, attended. I'm delighted to have Prof. Karen Milner as my guest now to tell me more. Prof. Milner, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks very much, Charisse. Lovely to be on your show. And good afternoon to all your listeners.
Karen, the historical significance of being in Geneva 90 years later must have been quite poignant and powerful.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, you sit there in the audience and all over the room are pictures of the first, the establishment of the World Jewish Congress, and we're all very, very aware of the date that it was established, that it was 1936. And I think that there's a certain heaviness associated with, I suppose, what ended up being the powerlessness, ultimately, obviously looking back to seeing that this was formed in 1936, the next 10 years of Jewish history being so tragic. And it certainly created a really strong sense of purpose, but also quite a shadow over the events and over the deliberations, partly because of how difficult things, although I'm not equating them, but how difficult things are for Jews around the world right now.
But also a sense of historical distance because how much better things are for Jewry compared to that time.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think that one of the most, obviously the most striking, perhaps, difference is if you look at the countries, you know, very different crew. If you think of a large number of Jews around the world, what countries were represented then and what countries are represented now. The world is a very different place. Some of those countries no longer exist. And of course, one country does exist that didn't exist then. And I think, obviously, that is firstly one of the things that makes all the difference from the 1936 Congress, a really proud and strong delegation from Israel are there. So absolutely, things are certainly different. And a lot of the discussions of the Congress were, in fact, around many of the anti-Semitism envoys that have been established at a state level in many countries around the world to fight anti-Semitism. So whereas, you know, 1936 Jews were staring at state-sponsored anti-Semitism. Now, although we have seen such a huge upsurge in anti-Semitism, the reality is that we are seeing state-sponsored fighting of anti-Semitism.
Well, let's get into some of that. You presented a session entitled Making Engagement Count, Community and Government Action on Anti-Semitism. What was your message?
I think it's important to understand the context. The other people in the session that I was presenting in, all of the other people were largely from the European Union, and almost all of the other people who spoke during the session were speaking to the Jewish representative, was speaking together with the anti-Semitism envoy from their country. It was only me who was speaking without any kind of anti-Semitism envoy or any kind of state support in relation to dealing with anti-Semitism. So it was, my session was quite different from the other sessions during that time. But I think that we have quite a good story to tell in South Africa, and that was really the message of my session, despite the fact that we live in a country with a government that is quite hostile, that certainly provides no funding or no material funding or any, sorry, definitely no funding, no other material support in any way in terms of opposing anti-Semitism. We pay for, as you know, we pay for all our own security, etc. Despite that, we sit in a country with one of the lowest levels of anti-Semitic incidences worldwide. We have amongst the more friendly universities in terms of our students worldwide. So in some ways, although it seems counterintuitive, given the context that we're living in, I think that we had quite a good story to tell.
Karen, Craig is indicating I have to take a break now, but when we come back, perhaps we can look at some of the reasons why that is the case.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm Cherise Seppert, this is Above Board, and I'm talking to Professor Karen Milner, the National President of the Jewish Board, about her attendance at the World Jewish Congress. Prof, why do you think there is this lack of anti-Semitism in South Africa compared to other countries?
Difficult to explain exactly why. I think that we don't have a long history of anti-Semitism in South Africa. And what history of anti-Semitism we do have, that's not to say that there's never been any anti-Semitism in South Africa. That would be historically inaccurate. But the historical anti-Semitism in South Africa came from Nazi sympathizers for the most part, just before the war and after the war. So it tended to come from the white right in South Africa. And there hasn't really been, other than that, there isn't this kind of deep-seated antipathy to Jews in South Africa. So I think average South Africans, honestly, are not anti-Semitic. I think that average South Africans are not filled with hate. I think that average South Africans have a real commitment to this country and to building this country up rather than dividing it. And I think that that is one of the reasons that we are seeing really low levels of anti-Semitism in South Africa, as opposed to some other countries where the issues of the day, the kind of moment of the day, or the people are getting a sense of meaning and are getting passionate about many. Issues in the Middle East from a perspective that acknowledges no nuance, from a perspective that often involves a tremendous amount of hatred, actually. And we that kind of hatred, there are pockets of it in South Africa. I don't want to minimize it. I don't think it doesn't exist. But at the moment, it exists in pockets rather than being widespread. And I think that that's a huge that's really something very powerful for us. I think we've also worked very hard. And I mean, and I know that at the moment you are interviewing me, but I think that the way that we've worked hard to ensure that at least there's, whenever we can, there's an alternative voice in the press on behalf of the Jewish community. The Jewish Board have really worked very hard at ensuring that there's an alternative view in the press that doesn't just parrot the obvious talking points of a very hostile press. I think that we've worked very hard to use our constitution, and that's a real benefit in our favor. I really have so much respect for the South African constitution. We have amongst the best anti-hate speech laws in the world. Our anti-hate speech laws and anti-hate laws are very, very powerful. And again, the SAJBD uses them as really effectively to take people to task, to hold people accountable when they're anti-Semitic. And we have many friends. I think that they're because, and, you know, we talk about, and I made an error earlier when I said that the government is so hostile. I think the previous ANC government was hostile. But in fact, the government of national unity is not so hostile. We still have many of the positions led by the ANC, so we're still seeing no shift in foreign affairs and foreign policy. But in terms of friends around every table, including the government table, the South African Jewish community have friends in every table that there is.
Certainly my experience is not only is there lack of anti-Semitism, but there's a genuine interest among ordinary South Africans of each other's culture, and there's this great tolerance for each other. Xenophobia aside. Karen, the idea of global solidarity at a time like this must have been very real, because I think since October the 7th, Jewish communities around the world have had a real sense of being one and helping each other deal with the different threats that we face. Or is that your experience at the conference?
Completely. I'm always really touched by how much the world Jewish community feels, firstly for one another, and secondly for us. You know, we are this tiny little community in the southernmost tip of Africa. It would be quite easy to forget us, especially within the context of many of these countries developing very serious problems within their own countries. And honestly, in the same way as they have shown solidarity to us, we've really tried to show solidarity to Australia, to Britain, to the US, who have experienced some real, truly horrendous incidents in the last year or so, the most recent, of course, being in Britain. And I think that solidarity goes both ways, and we've really extended our compassion and our empathy to those communities for the horrors that they've been experiencing.
Did anything concrete come out of the conference?
Yes, in the sense that a lot of the focus on the conference, as I said before, was based on these anti-Semitism envoys. All of the, as far as I know, almost all the, I'll just check exactly how many I've got it here. I'm going to check exactly how many anti-Semitism envoys. I don't have the exact figures, but numerous anti-Semitism envoys were there, and they brought out a statement on the importance of fighting anti-Semitism with guidelines for states around the world on how to fight anti-Semitism. And that includes things like ensuring that terrorist organizations are banned. It includes things like ensuring that people who behave in anti-Semitic ways or make anti-Semitic threats are held accountable, are criminalized, etc. So I do think that in that sense, there was quite a concrete outcome. I do think that that outcome is more of a European and perhaps American-based outcome. But in the end, these are people with positions in the United Nations. They are positions that we can learn from what works and doesn't work there. Even if we don't have an envoy to sponsor it, that's the South African way. If we can find things that work from the perspective of what they've proposed, then we can bring those into South Africa as a Jewish Board of Deputies, for example, and propose some of the mechanisms that they've introduced.
Karen, I also just want to remind our listeners that the Jewish Board of Deputies has also got an anti-Semitism hotline, that if anybody experiences anything that they think they need to report, they can do so on 078-259-9417. Thank you so much for joining me, Prof. Karen Milner, the National President of the Jewish Board of Deputies, and sharing about the World Jewish Congress. These forums cannot, the importance of these forums cannot be underestimated in any way, so thank you for that. Indeed, thank you to all of you for joining me. Oh, wait, I have to just tell you one more thing before we say goodbye. This season on the History Channel, the hunt for the world's greatest buried treasure goes deeper than ever before. Rick and Marty Lagina return to Oak Island with their boldest mission yet, using advanced technology and massive excavation efforts to finally uncover the legendary treasure hidden beneath the mysterious money pit. But as shocking discoveries emerge in Nova Scotia and all the way in Portugal, the team uncovers evidence that could rewrite history itself. Don't miss this brand new season of The Curse of Oak Island, Fridays at 20:15, only on the History Channel, DSTV Channel 186. Thanks to all of you for joining me. Thanks to Craig and Peterson for putting the show together. If there's anything you'd like to comment on, you're always welcome to send me an email on charisse@sajbd.org. And if you want to know more about what the board is doing, please check out our social media pages. Otherwise, until next week, I wish you all Shabbat Shalom.